there's an announcement that I did not get handed in, that for those who've been in the church for a period of time would recognize this individual, Gerald Waterhouse. He passed away this past week. He's been in a nursing home for the last couple, 3 years, and this would have been the first Feast of Tabernacles since God called him that he would not have been able to attend. So he now is in his grave, as many others before him. The Day of Trumpets has seven trumpets. It has woes. It has seals that are opened, thunderings. There are many events that are pictured on this Day of Trumpets. But today I would like to look at the seventh trumpet, the one that sounds the return of our Savior and soon coming King, Jesus Christ, and the first resurrection. That is our hope, that there is a resurrection. Even Mr. Waterhouse, who passed away this week, looks forward to that resurrection when Christ returns. Let's go to Revelation, the 11th chapter, and take a look at the events that are pictured. Revelation 11, and let's begin with verse 14. The second woe is past. Behold, the third woe is coming quickly. Then the seventh angel sounded, and there was a loud voice in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders who sat before God on their thrones fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give you thanks, O Lord God Almighty, the one who is and who was and who is to come, because you have taken your great power and reigned. The nations were angry, and your wrath has come, and the time of the dead, or the time of the nations, that they should be judged, and that you should reward your servants, the prophets and the saints, and those who fear your name, small and great, and should destroy those who destroy the earth. We see that the saints will rejoice at the coming of Christ. Let's go back to the 20th chapter of Revelation and verse 4. Revelation is 20, verse 4, and it says, and I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or the image, had not received the mark on their forehead or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead did not live again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. We know there are three resurrections, but today I just want to cover the first one, the one where the saints will be raised up at Christ's return. Is it something that's going to be behind closed doors? Let's go back to Matthew, the 24th chapter. When Christ returns, the world is going to know it. It's not something that's going to be a secret. It's not something that's going to be hidden. He's coming back to establish his kingdom. Matthew, the 24th chapter, and verse 25. And I was afraid and went and hid. Excuse me. Matthew, the 24th. I'm in 25. Matthew 24, verse 25. See, I have told you beforehand. Therefore, if they say to you, look, he is in the desert, do not go out. Or look, he is in the inner rooms, do not believe it. For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. When God returns, the world is going to know it. It's not going to be something that's hidden. His return is going to be something that everyone will see. It's prophesied in the book of Joel. Go back to the Old Testament, Joel, the third chapter. Joel, the third chapter, and verse 15. The sun and moon will grow dark, and the stars will diminish their brightness. The Lord also will roar from Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem. The heavens and the earth will shake, but the Lord will be a shelter for his people and the strength of the children of Israel. So you shall know that I am the Lord your God, dwelling in Zion, my holy mountain. Then Jerusalem shall be holy. We see that there's going to be, the earth is going to shake. He's not coming quietly. The world will know that he's there. Also see that in Matthew, the 16th chapter. Matthew 16. And verse 27, for the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his works. Assuredly, I say to you, there are some standing here who shall not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming from the kingdom. And what he was referring to was he was going to take the disciples up to the Mount of Olives and show him the transfiguration. Verse 17, or chapter 17, verse 1, he says, now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, brought them up on a high mountain by themselves, and was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. Jesus Christ is going to come in his glory, his face shining as the sun when he returns. It will be an event that people notice. We know that Jesus Christ was first raised. Acts, the first chapter. Jesus Christ came to this earth, he paid the penalty for our sins, and he died, and he was the first resurrected, our elder brother. God raised him first because Christ is first in all things. Acts, the first chapter. Too many books in John. I'll get there eventually. Acts 1 and verse 9. Now when he had spoken these things while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfast toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will also come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. So the apostles witnessed Christ being taken into heaven. Colossians, the first chapter. And verse 18. Talking of Christ, says, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. Jesus Christ was the first resurrected from a physical being to a spiritual. go to 1 Peter, the first chapter. Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. We see that Jesus Christ was first, and the rest of us, those that pass or die before Christ's return, he keeps until Christ does return and they can be raised. In Acts, the second chapter, go back to the book of Acts. I've got a computer program. It's a lot easier flipping those pages. I just type it in and I'm there. Acts 2 and verse 29. Men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David, that he both is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. And you can go back to Psalms, the 16th chapter, verses 9 and 10, and see that prophecy. He, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. The body of Christ was prophesied to die. It was prophesied that it would not decompose, that body would then be raised into spirit, that it would not be left here on this earth. And for those that came to the tomb afterwards, they found the linen that had been wrapped around Christ in a pile, and the body was gone. Verse 33, therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. For David did not ascend into the heaven, but he says to himself, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstools. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. He's the firstborn, our elder brother, and the head of the church at this time. There are many examples in the Bible of individuals that have actually been raised from the dead back to life, not to a spirit being, but back to life. Let's look in Acts, the first chapter. Actually, I do not want to go to Acts, the first chapter. I want to go to Matthew, the 9th chapter. Matthew 9 and verse 23. And when Jesus came into the ruler's house, and saw the flute players and the noisy crowds wailing, he said to them, make room, for the girl is not dead, but sleeping. And they laughed at him to scorn. this girl had died, and they were actually having either preparations for the funeral or the funeral itself. And he said, "Make room, for the girl is not dead, but is sleeping." And they laughed at him. And when the crowd was put aside, he went in and took her by the hand, and the girl arose. And the report went out into all the land. Jesus Christ gave her back her physical life at that time. John 11, in the 11th chapter, talks about Lazarus being raised from the dead. John 11 and verse 24. Martha said, "I know," talking to Christ when Christ told him that, let's actually drop back to verse 17. It says, "So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb for 4 days." So Lazarus had actually died. He'd been in the tomb for 4 days. Verse 24, "Your brother will rise again." Martha recognized the fact of the resurrection and knew that Lazarus would once again live when Christ returned. But Christ was going to raise him then. Let's drop on down then to verse 34, and he said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." And Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." And some of them, "Could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying?" So the Jews that were watching this actually were questioning the fact how Christ should have kept this man alive through a healing rather than to let him die. Verse 38, "Then Jesus again, groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, 'Take away the stone.' Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, 'Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he has been dead 4 days.' Jesus said to her, 'Did I not say to you that you would believe you would see the glory of God?' Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, 'Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I know that you always hear me, but because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me,'" giving recognition back to the fact that it was God and his power that was raising Lazarus. "Now when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, 'Lazarus, come out.' And he who had died came out, bound hand and foot with grave cloths, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to him, 'Loose him and let him go.' Lazarus was actually brought back to life and would die once again, but at a later time." There's many examples where individuals have been brought back to life. Let's go to Acts, the 9th chapter. Even the apostles were given the ability at certain times to raise individuals from the dead. Acts 9, verse 37. That is not... not what I'm looking for. Let's go to Acts 20. "And in a window sat a certain young man named Matthias, who was sinking into a deep sleep. He was overcome by sleep. And as Paul continued speaking, he fell down from the third story and was taken up dead. So here's an individual that was sitting listening to Paul and fell asleep and actually fell out of the balcony and died from that. But Paul went down, fell on him, and embracing him said, "Do not trouble yourselves, for his life is in him." Now when he had come up, had broken bread and eaten, and talked a while, even till daybreak, he departed, and they brought the young man in alive, and they were not a little comforted. Paul raised up this individual. The one before was an example of Peter raising up somebody also from the dead. See if I can. Let's go to anyway, Peter did also raise somebody from the dead. Let's go to Matthew, the 27th chapter. When Christ died, there was also a time when the graves were open. Matthew 27, verse 50. Verse 50, Jesus, when he had cried out again with a loud voice, yielded up his spirit. So this is at Christ's crucifixion when he died. And behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth quaked, and the rocks were split. And the graves opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised, and coming out of the graves after his resurrection. So we see that an earthquake happened at his death, and after he was raised 3 days later, 3 nights and 3 days in the grave, many of the saints who had previously died were actually resurrected back to life and went among the nation of Israel. Now, so we see that there are many instances when the dead have actually been raised back to life. The resurrection has been taught from the beginning of time. It's something that was known to the patriarchs and the prophets of old. Let's look at that in Job. The resurrection is something that has been a part of God's plan from the very beginning. God has never hidden his plan. Job 14 and verse 10. And here's Job, he says, "But man dies and is laid away. Indeed, he breathes his last, and where he is, as water disappears from the sea, and a river becomes parched and dries up. So man lies down and does not rise, till the heavens are no more. They will not awake, nor rouse from their sleep. Oh, that you would hide me in the grave, that you would conceal me until your wrath is past, that you would appoint me a set time and remember me. If a man dies, shall he live again? All the days of my hard service, I will wait till my change comes." Job understood that he would be raised once again when Christ returned to establish his kingdom on this earth. We can go back to Hebrews, the 11th chapter. and see where many died, not having received the promise of the resurrection. Hebrews, the 11th chapter, and verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed them, that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind the country from which they had come, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. The patriarchs of old understood and looked forward to the resurrection at the return of Christ when he brought his kingdom to be a part of a different country than what we have at this time, at this age. Who is going to be in that first resurrection? We see the saints. How do you determine who the saints are, or how does Christ determine who the saints are? Because we understand in John the 6th chapter, verse 44, that God calls. Many accept that calling. They repent, they're baptized, they accept Christ. How does the Bible refer to those that are going to be resurrected? Let's go to John, the 6th chapter. John 6 and verse 39. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should rise it up at the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up in the last day. Those who God has given, or Jesus Christ has given the Spirit to, are the ones who will be raised up. Go to Romans, the 8th chapter. Romans 8 and verse 10. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. So in other words, the Spirit of God needs to be in each and every one of us. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. We see that these mortal bodies that Christ has given his Holy Spirit to are the ones that are going to be in the first resurrection that he's going to raise up. Revelations 21. Revelation, the 21st chapter and verse 6. And he said to me, "It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." We see that the Spirit that has been given to us is actually the Spirit that God will use to raise us up at the end time. Let's go to 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. Second Corinthians 5 and verse 4. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together along with my spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of flesh. First Corinthians. Actually, I want to be, did I say 1 Corinthians 5, verse 4? I want to be in 2 Corinthians. Verse 4. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So that Spirit that was in Christ is given to us as a guarantee that we will be raised again. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. The Spirit that is in us is the thing that will raise us up. Philippians 3 and verse 14. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind, and if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. We see that we need to press forward and upward for that Spirit. Nevertheless, verse 16, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. Brethren, join in following an example, and note those so walk that you have us for a pattern. For many walk, of whom I have told often, and not tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. Verse 20, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly bodies that it may be conformed to his glorious body according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things himself. We see that the body that we have, this mortal body, will be changed. It's interesting to note that it's actually the body that is going to be changed to spirit. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 3, verse 17. This physical body that we have is the very thing that is going to be changed to spirit. The body of Christ did not see corruption. It did not stay in the grave, but it was raised to a spirit form. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 17. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. We see it's through the through the Spirit, that this body is given liberty. Verse 18, but we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as the Spirit of the Lord. It's actually the Spirit that is in us. It's been given to us when we accepted Christ, that God will raise up and shed this corruptible body. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians the last trump. First Thessalonians 4 and verse 16. The Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. We see that those that, who have died, whether it be the prophets of old, whether it be some that were alive and died during the time of Christ and through the ages up to this time, and even now, who pass away before the second coming of Christ, are actually those that will be raised first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. We see that the bodies are going to be brought from the graves first and raised spiritually, and then we shall follow. Let's go to 1 Corinthians now and spend some time in the 15th chapter, which we refer to as the resurrection chapter. Verse 20, but now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the first resurrection. For if Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive, but each one in his own order. Christ the first fruit, afterward those who were Christ at his coming. We see that Christ became the first fruit, the first risen from the dead and changed to spirit. The remainder of all mankind that has the Spirit of God when they either die or alive when Christ returns are a part of the first resurrection. Then comes the end when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and power. Let's drop down now to verse 35. But someone will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Foolish one, what you sow is not made alive unless it dies. We just read that it's been appointed since Adam that all mankind shall die. Something can't be raised up unless it has died. Foolish one, what you sow is not made alive unless it dies. And what you sow, you do not sow that the body that shall be, but mere grain, perhaps wheat or some other grain. But God gives it a body as he pleases. And he talks about the bodies of flesh, of animals, and different things, the sun and the moon, all of these have bodies. But they're different from man. So also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption, verse 42. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, and afterward the spiritual. The first man was of earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven, and was the man of dust. So also are those who are made of dust. And as it is the heavenly man, so also those who are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. We see that mankind has been given the opportunity to become and look just like Jesus Christ, to have that same spiritual body, one that has glory. Verse 50, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. We see that mankind, the body that we have here today, is what's going to be changed to spirit. It's interesting to understand that even those that are dead are going to be raised first as an immortal body. Go back to Ezekiel when it talks about 37, when it talks about the third resurrection, when he's going to bring up those and give for the 100 years. And he puts the flesh back on the bones and they live. When Christ returns and he goes out and he opens the graves and those that come out of him, they're going to receive their flesh on their bones. It's going to be something that is seen. As Christ is coming down from heaven, also the resurrection is something that people are going to witness. They're going to actually see the body come back, as flesh and bones, and then they're going to be raised up and we're going to all be changed in the air. First, those that have died, and then those who are left alive shall be brought up or caught. It's going to be something that this world is going to witness. It's not going to be something that is secret. People are just not going to disappear out of their houses or someplace else. They're actually going to be raised up to heaven to meet Christ in the air. And it's something that's going to be witnessed by the whole world. It's not something that's going to be behind closed doors. God has prophesied that this is going to happen. And he's going to show the world that he fulfills his prophecies. It's not something he's going to hide. They're going to know that God is God indeed, and his Son, Jesus Christ, has been given the authority to come back and rule over this earth in the final days. Verse 55, O death, where is your sting, O Hades? Where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Brethren, we look forward to the time that Christ will return. This day, the Day of Trumpets, has many things, many events that are pictured that are to take place. And I personally do not look forward to all the events up to the time of Christ's return. This world is going to see Christ, the different plagues, the different things that are going to be laid on this land and these nations, so they understand that God the Father is the ruler and is in command of this world and tries to bring them back to understand that. And he will actually shorten those times unless all flesh should be destroyed. And he does that for those who are the elect at that end time. But I look forward to the second coming of Jesus Christ, the time when this immoral, corrupt body, one filled with mortality, is given life, whether I die before Christ returns or I'm alive when he does return. That is something that's his will to determine, not mine. But I look forward to the day that Christ does return, and I can take on immortality. Brethren, many have died in the past and not received this promise. And there are some of us among us, even today, that will see death before Christ return. But yet we have that hope, and we have that promise that God the Father and Jesus Christ have given us.